And this program, as you'll know perhaps, is very fond of birds. But we weren't aware until meeting Dr. Yossi Leshem from Tel Aviv that they could be enlisted in the cause of world peace. There are talks about Israel and Palestine in Washington right now, but no birds so far. That won't stop Dr. Leshem.
I was privileged to be one of the leaders of establishing a bird station on the land of the Knesset, of our parliament. As far as I know, we are the only parliament in the world which has a permanent bird study station on the land of the parliament.
Actually on the land of the parliament. That's amazing.
At the edge of it, it's about 1.5 acres of gardening. And the birds which are migrating from Africa back to Europe or from Europe and Asia to Africa, when they come over Jerusalem, there's a big patch of the gardens of the Knesset. So for them, it's like an oasis in the desert because Jerusalem became so big, so much building. That's for them an attraction. So we got from the government a piece of land and we succeeded to attract in the last few years 60,000 students, urban students who are coming and they see life on science, on the state. And they got, you know, these urban kids who've never seen a bird from close, when they see a bird in hand, you can see how excited they are. And then at the end of the process, when we attach a ring to the leg of the bird, we give the students to release the bird. If some of them, they don't care much. But out of a class of 40 students, you always find 4 or 5 who are getting really moved. And that's the maybe the moment when we can get them as nature lovers.
Does it make the politicians, the members of parliament, better behaved?
I don't believe so. You know, because these politicians are politicians. Whatever you do, it's tough with them. But some of them, yes, yes. That's a big advantage because, first of all, this station became a meeting point for politicians, not only for migrating bears.
Yeah.
When they want to go quietly to a place and talk business, they come there.
I must tell you that every weekend I go to a place where we have, on a big deck overlooking the ocean, lots of birdseed.
Yeah.
Many, many different birds come to visit, especially if you've come across them, king parrots, which are those beautiful birds.
Yeah.
And they're very serene. And when you see birds like that, you become a very peaceful person, a very gentle person. Normally, of course, people like me are...
Yeah.
Necessarily, but and I would have thought that even with politicians there'd be that effect.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I don't know if you are aware, but Economist published a research a few years ago. There are now 100 million birders all over the world. 100 million. In the United States, for example, the first hobby was sport, the second was gardening, the third one, which for many years hunting and fishing, is now birding. So many people got really inspired of birds. You know, I think that almost every one of us sometime dream to fly when you are a kid. I was lucky to do it when I studied for the Israeli Air Force because, you know, we are a small country in a junction of 3 continents. From the political point of view, it's a disaster. We don't have to talk about it. But bird migration, because we are in a junction of 3 continents, this is like a bottleneck. It's a highway, and 500 million birds are flying over Israel twice a year. 1 billion birds on such a very small country. If you take the number of the birds and divide it to the size of the country, it's a world record.
How come?
Because many of them avoid to cross the Mediterranean. You know, they are riding the thermals. So, for example, a white stork from Germany will move on a much longer way of about 800 kilometers, but on a way that they can save energy. So we are lucky to have this huge number of birds migrating over. And one of my missions is to try now to convince the decision makers and the public that Israel is not only history and archaeology, and bird migration is a big story which has also an economic value. And that's the reason we are now establishing a station on the Arkon River. And this is now a hotspot for people from Tel Aviv who are hiking, bicycling, running there. So we got from the government about 9 acres of land. And like we did in the Knesset with 60,000, I believe that now in Tel Aviv we'll have 120,000 people visiting the site every year. And as you said, I think that when they are coming and suddenly, even they are not bird lovers, suddenly they see a bird in hand and you have the chance to release them back to their wild freedom. Our slogan is, and I'm working also a lot with Palestinian and Jordanian, migrating birds know no boundaries. And that's a big story because the birds don't care about politics. I'm also attaching a radio transmitter to storks. Together with the Germans, we attached 120 storks with a radio. There is a French satellite, which is called Argos, which every 90 minutes you can get the location on the globe. We have 500 schools who are learning on migration through our website.
Yes.
So we have also now Palestinian students and Jordanian students. And this works. It gets the people together. One of the storks landed in Syria in the late evening. The other morning, the stork took off at 7:45. At 10, the stork was in Jordan. At 12, in the Palestinian Authority. At 1:00 in Israel. And the stork wanted to land in Egypt. So she passed 5 countries in one day.
Safely.
Safely. Sometimes people are shooting, but basically safely.
Amazing stuff. Now, what other typical birds are there that actually live in Israel?
In fact, we are privileged to have 540 different species that you can be seen in Israel. In Australia, you have 850, which is more. But if you divide the number of the species to the size of the country, Israel is much better because it's small. If you are a businessman, you want to see a lot of businessmen or others are running now to see many species, Israel is this place because it's very small, very condensed. You can see big numbers of birds. So we have big variety of desert birds, for example. You have also some of the birds that you can see only in Israel. You can't see them in Europe. So as I just came to Australia, this is my first visit in Australia, and I went to Barrie Island, and in one afternoon I saw 41 species. Out of the 41 species, 37 were new to me, lifers. So, you know, someone who likes it, for me, Australia is heaven already.
Twitching like crazy.
Exactly.
So you've got lots of special birds which come and go, and lots of special birds which are actually there. How do you yourself study them?
You know, when I told you that 1 billion birds are flying over Israel, because of the political situation, we have also a huge air force. If you take the number of the Israeli aircrafts, of the Israeli air force, divided to the size of the country, it's another world record. And the Israeli air force lost in 3 decades 9 aircraft. I'm talking now only 2 birds. 75 collisions of a damage of 1 million and more, and thousands of other collisions. So what I did, I was privileged to do my PhD with the Air Force. And what I did, you cannot chase 1 billion birds of a small country. So the idea was very simple, to study when are the birds coming and leaving, what height are they flying, what routes, and change the flight regulation and just separate. So what I did, I had a group of about 70 bird watchers who were scattered across the country and counting the birds. I was flying with a motorized glider for 272 days. Every day from a flock of pelicans, for example, who are coming from Lebanon, I flew with them till they came to the Egyptian border. In the spring migration, I waited them in the Egyptian border and I flew with them till the Lebanese border. So with the motorized glider, we were cutting the engine and that's the way we found their routes. I used radars for the first time ever in the Middle East, and we studied the migration. Now the Israeli Air Force has a network of radars which gives them the ability to identify when are the big numbers, and then they stop to fly low. And I even use the drones, you know, the unmanned aircraft, which are for intelligence. This is a very expensive system, but because I did it for the Air Force, I got it free of charge, and we could study the birds first time ever in the world with drones.
That's cunning, yeah.
And the other issue that I was deeply involved with this satellite transmitter, you know, we gave them Jewish name, Muslim name, and Christian name to make it a global story. And one of these storks, which was called Princess from Germany, we followed the same stork for 13 years, leaving every year the nest in Germany, coming over Israel and moving to Cape Town. We made with the German TV a film with the ZDF, and we found out that this princess is going every year from a nest in Germany to a tree in Cape Town. She navigated from one tree to the other tree 11,000 kilometers, and she did it year after year. After 10 years, she came 2 weeks late to her husband because she was stuck with the bad weather in Sudan. When she came late to her husband after 10 years of very nice marriage, a new lady was sitting in the nest with 4 eggs, and she tried to chase it for 10 days, but too late. So if you're coming late to your husband, be careful. So she went 8 kilometers from the site and she found a new male. And for 3 years, she made it with a second husband. And we had a website, a big website, which is www.birds.org.il. And the students in the school could follow the bird online. So that was another issue that we got the Palestinian and Jordanian students with the Israeli students, and they could join forces. And suddenly they see that they have the same ground. That's what we are also doing now with the farmers. And in fact, from here, I'm going traveling to Brazil, and there I will give a lecture to the entire conference, 1,400 ornithologists, with my Palestinian partner and the Jordanian general. In fact, it's a general who retired from the army and decided to join forces under the title Birds as Peacemaker in Conflict Areas.
Ah, birds as peacemaker. That's very interesting. Because while you were talking, it struck me that one solution to the problem with the Air Force colliding with birds is to get rid of the Air Force.
No, we didn't get rid of the Air Force. The idea is just to change the maneuvers in the training zones. And we split them. They were flying above the birds on the migration time. And we were really privileged to reduce the number of collisions by 76%, saving them $800 million. And of course, the most important part is the life of the pilot. A few years ago, I gave a presentation to the Royal Air Force in Britain. And after I finished the lecture, a lady, a wife of one of the generals, stood up and said, Dr. Leshem, you're telling us about the pilots, but don't forget that you are also saving the life of the birds. This is typically British. but she's right. That's also, but, you know, people are, of course, part of it.
Very, very important. Okay, so you're traveling the world. How many people whom you talk to about this particular theme, how many take you seriously on that and act upon it?
I have to tell you, my parents came to Israel from Germany. My mother was a nature lover. She liked to hike, but she couldn't distinguish a donkey of a bird. But then, and I think she was privileged to get me in love with nature. After I finished my army service, I decided that I wanted my hobby will be my job. And I decided to be an ornithologist because I fall in love with birds. And then she panicked because she is a Jewish mother. She wanted me to be a lawyer or a physician. She said, how can you make a living of studying birds? So when I'm giving sometime lecture to youngsters, I always tell them, don't listen to your parents. If you have a passion to something, go on it. And I'm sure you will succeed. So I'm really happy with what I am doing. I think that many people, they think, as I give here to different Jewish community and other people, they say, no, he couldn't find a better job than he is an ornithologist.
Oh, no, I'm sure your job is wonderful.
No, I'm sure.
If you think of the dove of peace, but yeah. There's also the raptor, the eagle, which is very aggressive. So ornithology could be really the way forward to world peace. And I mean that seriously, because in many ways, if you think of one of the stories I've told before on The Science Show is of the duck pond and the hospital. They were designing a hospital and they thought, well, here we've got the old folks' ward. They're all dying of cancer. And we have to put the children somewhere close by. And that's going to be a bit difficult. Sure. They put a duck pond in the middle. And, of course, the kids wanted to feed the ducks. Sure. And the ducks were very friendly. And the old folk came out to help the kids feed the ducks. And so here you had something which united
two pairs. I have no doubt. I am now, as I said, for four decades in this. Nature get people relaxed. You know, the Israelis, for example, it's a small country, a very tense country, always with the conflicts. But when people go out and they suddenly see, for example, we have now in the north, in the Hula Valley, it's a big wetland, 35,000 cranes are wintering there. And the people get really inspired when they see 35,000 cranes, we are feeding them to reduce the pressure on agriculture field. And we have even a carriage with a tractor, which you can go between the cranes. They are very tame. And I can see how people that are not interested in birds at all, suddenly something moves in their heart. Say, wow, this is something different. And I tell you something more. You know, when I was younger, I was leading a bird club in Jerusalem with Teddy Kollek, at that time the mayor. He gave me the funds. And I had about 200 birders. And very strange, I found out that 90% of my birders are males, not females, which doesn't look logic. You know, the birds are colorful, they are flying, they are singing. It's like a dance. And I couldn't understand why not enough females, girls, are coming to the club. Then someone published a scientific paper that the birders, they are like hunters. The gene of hunting is with males. So in the past, they were shooting the birds and killing them. Now you are shooting them with a camera telescope or binocular. So most of these males, they are like hunters. And in fact, out of these 100 million birders, many of them, they are called in Britain twitchers. They are going for lifeless. They want to show them, you know, they want to go in the evening to the
same
pub.
Same here.
Yeah, I know, I'm sure. And they were in the pub, these tenses fell. I went to Israel, you have seen 220 species. I beat you, I saw 241. I saw even the rare eagle. And then his friend get depressed and he is happy. This is part of the game.
Dr. Yossi Leshem is the director of the International Center for the Study of Bird Migration at Tel Aviv University in Israel.